This morning, the title of the book has this position. It's the title of Christ the Son of Man. Christ the Son of Man. The first title is the Savior of the Human Race. And we're going to have our theme scripture from Luke 19, verse 10. I read it. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. For the Son of Man came to seek. So we ask ourselves, we are reading through the book of Luke, and that was like I said, I started last week. And we're looking at last week, it was about the death of Christ. And this morning, we're looking at the ministry of Jesus Christ, the ministry of Jesus Christ in the book. And when we talk about the ministry of Jesus Christ, what comes to mind of how Luke. Jesus Christ in the book is what is going to be the current or the key for the book of Luke. And that is what it says, the Son of Man. And the Son of Man, as we see, is a title. It's a title of Christ. The question we ask ourselves, what is the meaning of the title? You know, we don't just use titles for their titles. Titles have significance. We have meaning in the context for which we are using this. We have the population of this population. I think the majority of our population is students, right? And those of you who are doing your bachelor's degree, I don't believe one day you will have to tell yourself, I have a master's degree. I don't think you're going to be like that, right? And then also those who are doing their master's, you just look at that repeat. And those who are doing their PhD, you don't just think about it and say, I'm educated, I'm not a PhD. It doesn't happen. Titles are used in the context of relevance when they are being used. So the title of Jesus and the Son of Man is a title. Now, what does the title mean? And in the case of Jesus Christ, for the people, that was called. How did they receive that name? The name Son of Man. Now, when the Son of Man is mentioned in the book of Daniel, which describes the designation or the title or the office of the Messiah, which was used in the book of Daniel as I read. Daniel said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the ancient of days and was presented before him. And to him was given one dominion and glory and kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. That's and like I said, Son of Man as a title was used for Christ, but in the scripture itself, when we read the book of Ezekiel, about many different types, God called him Son. So we look at the meaning of this title as Son of Man, it has different meanings. What it means? The first title was a title of humanity. You being called the Son of Man means you have flesh and blood. You live as a man. So, Christ is also receiving that title as a Son of Man. It's an indication that he ever lived on this earth, just as he and I are living today. Because as we live in information explosion era, there are many who try to discount or disbelieve that Christ ever lived. So, there was a need for that. And secondly, title the Son of Man as we see, also talking about the title of humility. So, when you read the book of the And then also, the Son of Man is the title, and the title of the deity. Because we are all human beings, God bless you, man. But what separates Christ from us? So he said, for you to know that the Son of Man has power in his world, he tells us the man, the actual man, the man born. Has never worked before, which has never happened in their lifetime. And I don't think it can happen today too. That born in a cripple, our limbs are so strong, no strength in the world, and it just is terrible. If you look at him, it has to stand before and you talk. So that you know that the Son of Man, that is the distinguishing feature. He is God, matter. He is man of flesh and blood. At the same time, he is God, the creator of all things. And then criminally, the Son of Man is Christ. Yes, represents the purpose of the Roman Christ. Remember here, as we read the book of Daniel, he wrote by dominion. He loved and he loved the kingdom. And Christ is, he came to bring to us the kingdom of God. And he is God. Every kingdom has a king, has subjects. And as you see here, we are powerless subjects of this kingdom. And he is our king. Christ is God. So that is the essence of the Son. So, in reference to is talking about the glory that he needs to be exalted as taking his office. But that is not all. In order for him to be exalted to this highest position, as we read from Philippians 2, he needed to suffer. He needed to suffer as referenced in the book of Isaiah 53. And I read, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one for whom men hate their faces, he was despised and was esteemed, and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that he was seized, and with his wounds we he needed to suffer. He needed to go through the difficult side in his life, especially the separation of the Father as a result of your sins. That is why the devil wanted to come this Christ. And then, in that period, he said, we can doubt what he had. Because every man needed to come. But Christ said, so, why is this so much important for us? Christ. And that is why we are here this morning to discuss. As the Son of Man, like I said, we have a construction with a virgin woman. And then he was born, he had a life. And then he died. He must stay in the resurrected. So we can read from Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, who will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there will be no end. So indeed, he had a conception. So that's what we will do this song. And then also in dream, we have life. So Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in And then also, we read from Luke chapter 23, verse 63, it says, this man went to heaven and asked the life of Jesus. Then he took him out and brought his linen shawl and laid him in the chain, cut his soul, where no one had ever yet been laid. He's talking about the death of Christ. He died. And then they said, it did not end there. In Luke 24, 38, 39, 6, and he said to them, why are you sure? And why do you doubt? Why do you doubt arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Does me and see, for a spirit does not have a person, as you see that I have. This was after his resurrection. So indeed, as the Son of Man, in fulfilling the purpose of this title as a human being, as a man who has blessed the fact that every indication has been present in the scripture, that this is a high of. So, in this case, we move to the man of soul. The man of soul, why so? Because of you and I, of Christ Jesus. We will not save ourselves. We could not redeem ourselves by pursuing us. He came for us. That we will reach the glory that the Father has prepared. God wants us to bring us back in what glorious form. That even when we were created, remember, after creation, God never spoke about giving them us credits. I don't read the Bible ever teaches. He said it was true. But it's only in Christ that we will be perfect. It's only in Christ. So God wants to restore in more glorious form what we really do in Christ Jesus. That is why there is a need for the Christ. So here, as reference to the prayer of Zachariah, Luke chapter 1, verse 69. Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he has escaped from his kingdom and has raised up the throne of salvation for us in the house of the servant. Moving forward, reference of the prayer of Simeon, also to the people of Israel. Lord, now you are blessing your servant in my peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people. So we can say, what is the implication of this title as the Son of Man? As we began, is the title of the Messiah, the Redeemer. Why? Remember, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, Moses had already prepared the minds of the Israelites because they were in the wilderness. Their future was uncertain. They did not know how things are going to turn out. And they know the community of people they are going to engage in as they try to enter into the promised land. The difficulty is the restraint. So, right now, Moses was about to die. So, who is going to lead us? So, by the word of God, Moses told them, God is going to raise a prophet among you and your fathers to him. And in relation to this, Daniel gave that prophecy about the Son of Man. Moses told them that somebody is going to come in the flesh. He's going to be a man like me. And now they hear the prophecy of the Son of Man with glory. But they are in their own perceived mind. They took it differently because they were engaged in battle. So they were looking for somebody, a military leader, who is going to be like that Messiah to redeem them. So it is the messianic title or designation or prophecy. Now Christ used it also to emphasize his true nature as the spoken. Because there have been so many people who have come from God, and they have so many different people talking about God. We've heard about Elijah, we've heard about Moses, we've heard about all the prophets. But what differentiated them from destroying one who has the power of death. That is the death. And believe it or not, those who put fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. We really need subject to what is in peace. That is talking about. Indeed, he needed to come as Moses has said. And as the prophecy has been given in the prophet. So yes, indeed, Christ came in the human nature to fulfill that. And it was also connected to his heavenly life ministry. And like I said, there needed to be a differentiation. And Mark chapter 2, verse 10, 11 says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He says to the prophet, I say to you, rise and be prepared. So that is the power, something that has never happened for us to really understand that indeed Jesus Christ came. It's not just a mere man, but you and I. And then it was connected to his suffering, as we saw in the book of Isaiah 53. And then Mark intervened, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And you reject the elders, and the chief priests, and the scribes, and after 3 days, rise again. So every prophecy that was said about Christ now is completed in this lifetime. Now, it was all kingdom. It was connected to his exaltation. And here, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, I read. The Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels to him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Jesus Christ is sitting here. He's talking about his glorious seat. And we await. So everything in the creation is pointing to the fact that, yes, indeed, Christ as the Son of Man is not just a man, but himself. Our Savior. And not only, remember, all these prophecies were connected to the people of Israel. You and I were in our ways. As the people of Israel received. But therefore, remember, he sought power in you. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And even in his final year on earth, he said, I have many sheep who are not in this. I am not among this of a unit of brethren. And he was talking about you and I. And today, because of his son. Because of his son. Now, also, it was connected to it. It was indeed mistaken. It's not the full message. Because from what has been narrated for Moses up to the time of Daniel. They were expectant when they knew something. So, when Christ came into the scene, it's going to click something in your mind. But every mind was there. So, Christ cried in the book of Luke 19, which is 44, says, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up barricades around you and surround you and hand you. In and on every side, they tell you that to the ground, you and your children will live, and they will not leave one stone on another because you did not know the time of resuscitation. The people of his own time, the same nation that he was born to, as we read the book of John, they were rejected. Those who believe in him, who believe in his name, he gave them. That is why we find ourselves. So if you see that the Son of Man was an indication for the Israelites to know that, yes, they are miserable, but the choice of them is and up to today, some Jesus Christ on earth confirmed this, that he is in the middle. As we read from Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. Says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim The church is in this man. Now, what does it mean to us? As we see, why are these lights so important for us as Christians? It's important because the church is so believing in it. Because who believes? And Christ said in Luke chapter 11, verse 7, he said, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. It implies, if you don't believe in me, you are his enemy. Let's think about ourselves in the nations where we have, you know, leaders who call them, you know, wicked leaders, let's do that, wicked leaders. And then they want to use the same institution to fight against you. How do you survive? Even with death, we are human beings. We have 10 years. And they can bring it from you. What about me and the end of the creator of the whole world? So, yes, in me, that is why this man is also important to us in our daily life. And then also, for the sake of service, who are in the church? The elders. Remember, I'm sure you heard the name of John the Baptist, right? The forerunner of Christ Jesus. He baptized unto repentance. He paved the way. He gave him the spirit of life. Why are you done the life this year? Should we believe in this one? We should do John the Baptist. So we read from Luke 7:23, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Are you here among us? And are you offended to that Christ says, is there to be the Lord? You need to bow before him. You need to acknowledge him, live for me. Because of him, is that you sometimes struggle to surrender your whole heart. You know, as human beings, sometimes we think of if my own self, if I want to, and whatever kind of thing, if I want to, if I want to, what's the expression? What's the expression? Those in that name, those in that name, yes. Sometimes it's very difficult talking among, you know, among the among the ladies, as in the temple. Mention the name of God. It's very difficult for the church. And I'm going to learn this too. Sometimes when I go to the canteen, I get my lunch, I sit down, I put my hands together, and I pray, and I watch. I see that Christ is watching. That's okay. Somebody brought me there. When I was struggling to get my kids, none of them were there. When I was struggling to get my master, none of them were there. Even to get the opportunity for the interview, to enter into the university, to begin the lecture, none of them were there. Somebody took me there. So I have to show appreciation to him.
Amen.
And I remember sometimes the opponent says, "Hey, which do you join any religious?" Can you be fasting right away? And thank God we are recognized. And so, we don't have any more. So, really, it is very important. Every because he knew that somebody might be in the presence of people. Remember, he said, if you deny me, I also deny you.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, believers. Those who are sad, they have to leave the truth of the Lord. Remember, Luke chapter 21, verse 34, 36. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before this Son of Man. The question is, will your faith in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, that is about Christ's death. And the Lamb was slain. Who received glory and power, authority, dominion, and all every nation that was glory. And you see, it would have been written in heaven if Christ was not faith. Why? Because when you read Revelation chapter 5, he says, after giving him all this title, the 24 elders bowed and the following creature. Amen. It is like rehab. And after that, read Revelation chapter 4. The same glory and honor was given to the one who sat on the throne, that is the ancient of days. And the same is given to Christ in Revelation chapter 5. So if Christ indeed was not a deity, then we have been treated. I'm sure you know that. Yes, the good is that. But because he is God. Because he is the most high. In him all things will be created. The 24 elders and the following creatures say, and all the angels, everyone, glorify Jesus. That is the one. And the scripture says, he is coming back.
Amen.
He is coming back. It does not end there. And read from Luke 21, 26 to 27, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of God coming in the cloud with power and great glory. So if you want to tell us to Christ has already come, that will be spiritual. Because if he's going to come, all eyes are going to see you. Have you seen Christ come in the cloud? No, so don't let it down. He will come back. So align your life to the King. So in conclusion, as the Son of Man, he is our righteous King, our great priest, and the renowned prophet. Why prophet? Because he tells us the exact word of God. No prophecy doesn't have anything. It is an exact voice. So if you are missing anything from Christ, then the guys we need to do our homework. We need to rise our homework. And as our King, he demands our loyalty and allegiance daily. Listen to this very well. He demands daily, every day. That is why in the book of John, it says, abide, abide. Because apart from him, we cannot survive. We can't live without him. It is not possible to live this spiritual life. Let me tell something for a while. This is a spiritual, the Christian day is a spiritual day, it's a spiritual life. Live in the flesh. You cannot use your physical strength to contend with something in the spiritual. That is why we need the spirit that the Holy Spirit will help us. That is why the Holy Spirit is so important in the life of every Christian. Every Christian, whether you want the pew or you are very passive, the Holy Spirit is very important. So he demands a very collective. So every morning we go on our knees to thank Father, have the word to him, let your word be done. And Christ is not back in the lost year. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. Let your word be done. Let your word be done. And then as priests, he meditates, he mediates and expansifies us. The scripture says, he bursts us up. He gives us a big He's always in us. He knows our weakness. That is why John 3 tells us we can come to the back in time and present us as blood because his blood is everlasting, always everlasting. And then he gets our problem because he nourishes and refreshes our soul. That is why he feeds us with our soul. Every day the Holy Spirit is Right. So as we invite our Genesis.